Hallelujah. We thank you for your presence, God.
God, let us not get too busy. Let us not get in a hurry and a rush. Father, that we miss, God, what you're doing, what you're saying, God, that still small voice that speaks to us, that urges us, that leads us, that gives us that one word that changes everything, God. Let us not get in a rush and run by it and miss it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your message, God. Let it be powerful in our lives, God. You know what we need to hear. You know where we need to be encouraged. You know where we need to be corrected. You know where we need to be challenged, God. So I thank you, Father, that you'd speak to us in that way today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to see what God is going to do in this new year. And if anything, I am full of hope and full of faith. Is anybody full of hope and full of faith? I just know, no matter what, because sometimes I talk to people and they have a negative report on how everything is going, but I only get excited because whatever the enemy is up to, God is up to something even better. So whether if you want to receive that on a personal level or on a regional level or on a national level, whatever the enemy is up to, God is up to something so much bigger, so much greater, so much more. So I'm excited about that and the continual unfolding of God's kingdom. I just want to be a part of what God is doing. Amen. So first, let me just say, didn't Francesca do an amazing job last week? Amen. Amen. I love it. That's the response that I want when I come back. I'm like, yeah, we did great. You're like, wonderful. I'm going to go take another vacation. All right. We got to watch it on the stream, and so we were on a family trip, and I'm so proud of our amazing leaders here, how they're continuing to grow in the things of God and grow in the purposes of God, and just proud of our family as we're growing into what God has called us to do. We've been talking about this word for the year, undefeated. Somebody say it with me. Undefeated. Look at somebody, just put on a real serious face and say, undefeated. I like it. Undefeated. We talked about the fact that our God is undefeated. He's never lost. He's never lost a battle. He's never not come through on his word. He's never not produced. We talked about the undefeated church, how when Jesus came, he didn't just create any kind of church, any type of people. Actually, this church is an undefeated church. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. When the people of God get together and they work together and they line up with the things of God, guess what? They win. That's what the word says. And we talked about last week the undefeated mind, how you got to have the right mentality to grab a hold of this word and live an undefeated life. It's in the Bible. The undefeated life is in the Bible, but you got to get your mind right. Isn't that what Romans 12:2 says? Don't conform to that old way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get in this. Get this in your mind. Change your heart. So today I want to talk to you about family. The undefeated family. Say it with me. Undefeated family. How many believe that you are in the undefeated family of God and that your family can be undefeated? In the Bible, there's an important part of the whole picture that God paints in this beautiful narrative between himself and man. And he uses family. And he actually hones down on a specific family. Maybe you've heard of them, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and his family, and on and on, right? God uses family to show his purpose and to pour his plan through a family. Nearly everything that God has done on the earth, he has chosen to use family. Actually, even when Jesus showed up, he continued this family concept. He said, I am the Son. He is the Father. And we continue with God using this family construct for his purposes. And we see Abraham, his family becomes the earthly extension of God and his family. God hand selects Abraham, hand selects Isaac, hand selects Jacob. God shows us his purpose unfolding through a family. So we understand an undefeated God chose to do his undefeated plan through a family. He chose specifically, it was intentional to use a family. And the Bible says this about when we come to Christ, Ephesians 1:5. It said, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, so he gave him great pleasure. I love this word. It's so powerful. Adopted. Just say it with me. Adopted. It's a powerful word. This is what it means. Adoption is a process where a person assumes the parenting of another from that person's biological or legal parents. Legal adoptions permanently transfer all rights and responsibilities along with filiation from the biological parents to the new parents. So when we come to Christ, we're actually changing families. This incredible adoption process occurs, and we're inserted into this incredible family legacy. When we come to Christ, we are adopted into God's incredible family legacy. A family that has gone through some difficult times, but they've never been defeated. In the end, somehow God always turns it around and causes them to be undefeated. You and I have been inserted into this legendary family. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Galatians 3:29 says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. You've been inserted into the heritage. You've been inserted into the promise. You've been adopted into the family plan of God. That's what Galatians says. So Paul uses the word adoption and the incredible imagery here to help us understand God's plan. When Jesus came, he gave everyone the opportunity and invitation to be a part of God's undefeated family. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are adopted into what God is doing. So even if you weren't born a natural descendant of Abraham, you become adopted through the power of the Holy Spirit. You become adopted into God's family. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter what your family challenges are. No matter what crisis that was going on in your family life before. When you came to Christ, you are adopted into God's family. No matter what your life looked like before Christ, when you came to Christ, now you're a part of God's undefeated family. When you're adopted into God's family, you have a new identity. There's a new environment. There's a whole new world of possibilities opened up to you when you join God's undefeated family. Because when an undefeated God starts a family, what type of family does he start? It has to be undefeated because everything connected to God becomes undefeated. The status gets upgraded. How many can raise your hands and say, my status now is undefeated? I can go on social media and put my status. I'm going to change it to undefeated. When I get connected with God's family, now my status changes. When God adopts you, you become a winner. When God adopts you, you become more than a conqueror. When God adopts you, you become an overcomer. When God adopts you, you become undefeated. We really have to get a hold of this right here because too many are living below what God has called for them to live. God called us more than conquerors. God called us overcomers. God called us undefeated. But so many times we live below what God has said about us. God is undefeated. When he sent his son to earth, he was undefeated. The Holy Spirit inside of us is undefeated. We have to let God upgrade our status. The Holy Spirit inside of you wants to upgrade your status. You have to work with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to upgrade you. If you're a part of his undefeated family, then guess what? Your family should be undefeated too. Right? This is what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Me and my family. It's not just enough for me to be undefeated. My wife needs to be undefeated. My kids need to be undefeated. The people in my household need to be undefeated. My spiritual sons and daughters need to be undefeated. The people connected to my life need to get undefeated. It's not just enough for me to be undefeated. Don't just accept this reality for yourself. Accept it for your whole family. You have been adopted into an undefeated family. You are God's special possession. You are God's holy people. You are adopted into the family of God when you take on this undefeated status. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you, me, we're inserted into what God is doing. We are God's undefeated family. And I love this about family, the special dynamic, both natural and spiritual family. There becomes a spiritual momentum about it. Has anybody noticed that? There's a momentum with family. You know, sometimes they might have a proclivity to music. And so with this family, they become more and more musical, or that they're good with this or that. And there's a momentum there, whether it's a natural momentum or a spiritual momentum, a natural family, a spiritual family, there is a type of momentum. In a family, there can be a good momentum, there can be a bad momentum. There can be a godly momentum, there can be a wicked momentum. When we get into God's family, we enter into this family covenant, and there becomes a spiritual momentum that we take part in. We enter into this family covenant, we get involved with a local body, and we see the momentum begin to happen. I love how throughout the Word of God, momentum happens. God would tell his people, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm doing something, and now you're getting a part of this, and there's something moving. There's something growing. There's something increasing that you're getting attached to. God's family would gain confidence by rehearsing the fact he is a family God. From generation to generation to generation, God would remind his family that he is the family God. Exodus 3:15 said, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go and show up and tell them that I am the generational God, that I am the family God. I'm the same God that worked with their fathers, that worked with their grandfathers, that worked with their great-grandfathers. I'm the one that's always been there, creating a momentum, a current behind them to carry them to the greater things. Go and remind them. Exodus 4:5, he tells Moses, perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has really appeared to you. When you show up in Egypt and you do these signs, they're going to say, oh, that's the family God, the God that was with us before in all the generations with Abraham and with Isaac. And oh, that's him. I see, because you've done this sign. I know, because he does stuff like that. When you perform this sign, the whole family is going to realize that it's the family God. There's momentum when you rehearse your spiritual family line. My son, he came to me and he had a nightmare a couple of nights ago. And so we came together and we prayed. But then after I prayed with him, I began to rehearse things about the spiritual momentum in our family. And I talked to him about what God had done with our great
grandfather and what God had done with our grandfather and what God had done with his grandfather and what God had done with my father, what God had done in our church, and how God is an undefeated God and he does big things and he's still doing things today. And something happens when you begin to rehearse the spiritual momentum that God has placed in your life, that God has placed in your family, and that God has placed in you when he engrafted you into this family. Momentum is a powerful thing when you understand it. I had a cousin, an older cousin that I looked up to, and he was a teenager. And he had like four brothers. And when they would come to town, it was so incredibly fun and exciting and dangerous. A lot of danger and excitement. And he had this idea. He was the oldest brother. And he had this idea. He was a teenager. I was a little bit younger. He said, look, we're going to, in Georgia they have hills. I know we don't have hills like that. But my grandmother's house started here at the top of the hill. And then it went down. It was steep, right? And so he said, you know what will be really cool? I'll get on this bike and you get on the handlebars and we'll go down the hill. I was like, man, that's an awesome idea. That sounds so fun. And we started to go and we started to go. And guess what? There was momentum. There was lots of momentum. But at the bottom of the hill, there was also a mailbox. Not a weak, flimsy mailbox, but one that had been cemented in and it was metal. This was a wide road. There was no reason for there to be any connection or contact with this mailbox. But yet we were magnetically attracted to the mailbox. But I'm so happy that at the end of the day, my cousin was not hurt because I broke a majority of the fall. Hopefully, my cousin learned not to put your younger cousin on the handlebars and go down a hill. But what I learned is the power of momentum. When you have momentum in life, you can do incredible things. And when you have God's spiritual momentum, when you're a part of his family, all things are possible. Amen. Spiritual momentum. God wants you to get into his family and experience the powerful momentum of his plans upon the earth. He wants to adopt us into his plans upon the earth. Incredible thing about momentum is this, because it's spiritual. There is spiritual momentum happening all the time. Spiritual momentum happening in the good, spiritual momentum happening in the bad. There's godly momentums, ungodly momentums, sin momentums, blessing momentums, all kinds of momentum that you can choose, or the enemy can choose for you what momentums to be a part of. It's a very spirit. There's always some spiritual undercurrent. There's a spiritual momentum going on. I can either get into this or I can get into that or I can get into the other. I have to be spirit led, because if I'm not being led by the Spirit, if I'm not following in the Word, I'm not going to be in the spiritual momentum that God wants me in. I might be getting involved in a negative momentum that the enemy wants me to get involved in. God wants you to be in his family and experience this spiritual momentum, the momentum of overcoming, the momentum of winning, the momentum of becoming undefeated. God does things with spiritual momentum, and as you grow in God's family, you begin to gain a spiritual momentum. Whether you're connected to God's family through your natural family, you became connected that way, or you became connected through spiritual family, God, people that God brought into your life. When we're joined together by God, there becomes a spiritual momentum. Year after year, season after season, generation after generation, it gains traction. It gains power. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of you and me, we're inserted into this incredible family of God. So God has this undefeated family that he has invited us to be a part of. What now? What do you do with that revelation that God has an undefeated family that he's invited you to be adopted into? What do you do with that power to be undefeated? What do you do with that family name? Now that we've talked about who you are and whose you are and what family you belong to, what now? What do you do with this new identity? Unfortunately, I see some Christians, they come to Christ, they're adopted into the family of God, but they still live like they're a part of the old family. The family that has to work by the natural and just get by. They don't always win. They do their best when they have a new identity. They have a new family name. They have a whole Bible full of promises. So what will you do? Will you continue to live the way that you did before? To continue to be a part? I'm not saying that you have to lose the good parts of your natural family, but there's some things that you have to stop and say, I'm not a part of that anymore. Now I'm a part of an undefeated family, the family of God. What will you do with the knowledge, with the power that you belong to an undefeated family? Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. God, how you afforded us the incredible opportunity to be adopted into your family, to be called your sons and daughter, to be inserted into your family legacy. And God, for our status to be upgraded to undefeated. God, I thank you, Lord, that we would embrace it. We would walk in it. We would partner with the Holy Spirit to upgrade the areas of our life that need to be upgraded, to be the level that you have called us to be, to press for the mark of the high calling, to be undefeated. God, to be your overcomers, to be your conquerors. God, I thank you, Father, for what you said to us. Thank you for the challenge that you've put before us, God. Thank you sometimes even for the correction. For some of us, it's a correction to say, stop living like that. I've called you something greater. God, I thank you, Lord. Let us respond to your voice. Let us respond to your promise. And let us be your undefeated family. As we're praying, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with God today. I understand that he's there and he's got his arms open, but I feel like I haven't really said yes. But I want to. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. If you'll slip up your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you lifted your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can join in with us. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me, for giving me the right to be called the son or daughter of God. Thank you for that free gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of adoption. Jesus, I'm sorry for every sin, every shortcoming and failure. Jesus, make me new. By the power of your cross, make me new today. Teach me how to be a part of your undefeated family. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's give God the praise today. I'm so happy.
I'm so happy that I can be a part of God's family, that we can all be a part of God's family. That's something to celebrate. Not just that we've got a few promises, but we have a new identity in God. I want to invite you to join Pastor Corinne and I and the leaders as we start 14 days of prayer and fasting. We're calling this a 14-day spiritual detox. I don't know what's been going on in 2020, but God has given a new chapter, and God is saying, let's take these 14 days to put some stuff and leave some stuff in the past. Let's get focused on what God is doing in our future and in our now and become undefeated. Sometimes to grab a hold of a word that's this big, you need to set some time aside. You need to do some extra praying and fast. Push the plate back a little bit. And so that's what we're going to do for 14 days. And I am believing that God is going to do incredible things in our life. We're going to start tonight at sundown, and we're going to go for 14 days. The information is on the website and the, you guessed it, Hope United app. You can find it right there. So please join us. And let's grow together with these 14 days of prayer and fasting, our 14-day spiritual detox. Amen.